Once again, we want to extend a very warm welcome to you this morning. We are so very blessed to be here, so glad that the Lord has given us this day to be together and to sing these great songs and to think about His Word and to just join together in fellowship. So thank you so much for being here. We're grateful, especially if you're visiting, thankful that you have come our way. If you're from out of town, thank you for encouraging us in your desire to serve the Lord this morning. And of course, if you're from our area, we are very, very pleased that you're here and invite you back at every opportunity that you have. So just good to be here and thankful for this wonderful day that God has given us. I want to invite you to turn in your Bibles, if you will, open up your Bibles with us as we study the Word of God together, or tablet or whatever you're using that the words of our Lord. And follow along as we look at these passages together. Most of the chemical stimuli in the air are dissolved in the layer of mucus coating the epithelium. This mucus contains water, mucopolysaccharides, antibodies, enzymes, salts, and odorant-binding proteins. Olfactory receptor cells are bipolar, meaning that they have one dendrite and one axon. The dendrite ends in a knob from which several small cilia dangle. So when the chemical stimuli or odorants dissolve in the mucus on the epithelium, they bind specific receptor proteins on these cilia. This begins the transduction process. This is what I'd like to talk with you about this morning. I hope and pray that we might benefit from the things that we're about to say together this morning. But I want to talk about that phenomenon this morning together in the time that we have, this process, wonderful process, and an ability that we have that really adds a great angle to life, and something that if we don't have is truly a loss if we don't possess in our physical persons. It certainly makes life less vivid and complete. We have in our house a number of these, and probably some of you have them, some of these memory books from trips that you've taken, vacations that we've had, and so Sheila has done a great job of assembling all of our pictures in these memory books. And I love to get out those books from time to time and just take a look at some of the places that we've been and memories that we've had and things like that. And I love those books. In some way, I wish that we could also have a shelf full of bottled smells. Because in some ways, there are some memories that we have that really are not as much visual memories, but are more sensory in terms of our smell and the olfactory system that we have that God has designed. And some of those things really trigger my memories as I smell a wonderful smell that I haven't smelled in a long time. If you haven't eaten breakfast this morning, I apologize in advance for what you're about to see. But one of those memories that I have is of a place called the Varsity. Anytime someone is cutting sweet onions, and in particular Vidalia onions, if they're cutting those and I smell those, I'm instantly transported back to Atlanta, Georgia, where I kind of grew up. We would go on Sundays after church to the Varsity. And there's this huge room, as you walk in to the right, huge room full of just onions, just mounded up on these tables. I assume it's still there. Haven't been there in a long time. But it's a wonderful smell. And every time I smell that onion smell, I'm back in Atlanta. And then there are other things, like if someone gives me a hot Krispy Kreme, cold not so much, but if it's hot, I'm also transported back to my youth when we would drive my dad crazy on the way back home from church to stop when we saw the hot now sign. And I can just visualize that now as I think about that smell. There are so many other things. We're encouraged to stop and smell the roses, that there are things that we need to take advantage of, and such wonderful smells that we experience in this life. Fruit stands that I'm reminded of every time I go by some of these places in Target or other establishments that we might go into. And then we think of those hot biscuits that are so good and maybe homemade by mom. And if someone makes those and they have a specific smell, we are taken back to those Thanksgiving dinners and other places that maybe we have had those kinds of things. Or maybe this might trigger some memory of a beautiful smell. Mountain air is another thing. You know, they have air fresheners that are mountain air fresheners because of something, I guess, that we smell in the mountains. It's just fresh and clean. And so we recognize that that's kind of the way things are for us in our human experience, that to a very great degree we have those memories. Not all those memories are positive. Sometimes those memories can be a little bit negative. I went in, I guess it was 2 years ago, to my son's high school locker room. And he was finishing up his soccer season. It was toward the end of the year, and I was instantly moved back to those horrible experiences of my high school years in that place. So we recognize that that's kind of a part of our experience as human beings. But did you know that God has those experiences too? That God is represented to us in the Scriptures as having that same capability. And as we recognize our inclination to be impressed by those kinds of things, we also recognize that the Scriptures present to us that God has that same sort of sensory response to the things that we do. If you will, look at a few passages that express that. Genesis chapter 8 in our Old Testaments. Look back and kind of see that briefly. Genesis chapter 8. And we might look all throughout the Old Testament at examples of this as we think about things that, in fact, we see God's response to in our sacrifices and offerings and things of that sort. Remember in Genesis chapter 8, Noah has built an ark and he has been saved from a flood that has come upon the earth. And in Genesis chapter 8 and verse 21, after about a year on that vessel, he is finally able to come out of there and God has removed the waters from the face of the earth and he is joyful. And it says to us in verse 20, that then Noah built an altar to the Lord and took of every clean animal and of every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a soothing aroma. And the Lord said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground for man's sake, although the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth, nor will I again destroy every living thing as I have done. The Lord smelled a soothing aroma. For him, that was a pleasant smell. He responded in an emotional way. And folks, we have an emotional God that does respond to us either in anger or in great pleasure at what we do. And so Noah offered something that to God smelled so very sweet, and he responded with pleasure to that. Moses and Aaron, we think about the multiplicity of times in the Scripture that offerings are talked about. In Exodus chapter 29, just over one book, in Exodus chapter 29, Moses and Aaron are told by God what his expectations are as far as the offerings that they would offer as Jews under the law. And in Exodus chapter 29 and verses 15 through 18, he gives them instructions about these things. He says, and you shall take one ram, and Aaron and his sons shall put their hands on the head of the ram, and you shall kill the ram, and you shall take its blood and sprinkle it all around on the altar. Then you shall cut the ram in pieces, wash its entrails and its legs, and put them with its pieces and with its head, and you shall burn the whole ram on the altar. It is a burnt offering to the Lord. It is a sweet aroma, an offering made by fire to the Lord. The aroma that was sweet was not to the people. You know, that's not a very pleasant smell, necessarily. at times in certain parts of the animal when that is burned. Not necessarily to a human being, a smell. And you know what? It doesn't matter. There are some things that maybe we don't necessarily think of as attractive, or we think of as being something that we like. But if God smells it as a sweet-smelling aroma, then that's what matters to us. That's what ought to matter to us, is His response and not ours. But He says, it's a sweet aroma to me. This is what He wanted. But all of those offerings, and at least in the book of Leviticus, 17 times it says that the Lord smelled a soothing aroma or a pleasant, or was delighted in that offering. All of that's preparing us for what Jesus Christ did. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 2, and we could certainly spend a lot of time just looking at those examples in the Old Testament where offerings were made and where God was pleased. But all of those offerings are representative of what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us and how pleasing that was to God the Father. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 2, Paul says, walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma. When Jesus Christ offered himself on the cross, you mean that was to God a sweet smell? Do you think that God took pleasure in that? That aroma of that sacrifice was pleasing to God? Well, surely not in the sense of His pleasure that His Son was being killed. But it was that in that the price for our sins was being met. And the propitiation for our sins was being paid by Jesus Christ. Himself as the perfect Lamb of God was offered up so that we might have the forgiveness of sins. And to God that was a sweet smell, because He knew that it was necessary so that we might find life. And so as Jesus Christ was offering Himself on the cross, God in heaven was receiving the smell of that sacrifice. He was pleased with that, because that's what it took. That obedience of His Son, that perfection, that perfect sacrifice. Look over in the book of Philippians also. We think about other places in the New Testament where this idea is also shown to us. We're about to, in just a few minutes when the sermon is over, we're about to make an offering unto God. We're about to contribute to the work of the Lord here. And the Scriptures present that as something that when done, that God smells a soothing aroma by that. In the book of Philippians in chapter 4 and verse 18, the Philippians offered that which was a sweet smell to God in their offering and their concern for Paul and their generosity. That kind of gift is represented as something that is pleasing. He says in verse 18, indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the thing sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. Have you ever thought about that idea that when we give, that in some sense that God is receiving the effects of that and the response to that in our hearts and the love that we have for Him in our giving to Him, that it is a sweet-smelling aroma to God, a pleasing sacrifice? You know, we see also in the book of Revelation that the prayers of the saints are as if from under the altar incense rising up to God. So we kind of see that representation made for us all throughout the Scriptures as something that is pleasing to God. Now, I'd like for us to take that idea, if you will, and kind of make application of that very quickly over in the book of 2 Corinthians. If you'll turn to the book of 2 Corinthians, and build on that a little bit by turning to this passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verses 12 through 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verses 12 through 17. We'll read this passage together. It says, "Furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened to me by the Lord, I had no rest in my spirit because I did not find Titus my brother. But taking my leave of them, I departed for Macedonia. Now thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one we are the aroma of death leading to death, to the other the aroma of life leading to life. And who is sufficient for these things? For we are not as so many peddling the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as from God, we speak in the sight of God in Christ." I find this phrase very interesting here, this idea of to God we are the fragrance of Christ. You ever stop to think about the import of what that means? To God, we are the fragrance of Christ. We've recognized that God has this same sense that we do, at least in representation, that maybe for our benefit that he is represented in that way, but that he has this ability. And here, we are represented as being the fragrance of Christ to God. To me, that's quite an important statement and quite a profound kind of idea. I've never really thought of myself as in that way. Never thought of myself as being something that God, through his senses, would perceive the Lord Jesus Christ through. But I think that's exactly what the Scripture says there. This analogy that is made here in these passages is from the Roman times, when they would go and they would conquer an enemy. And they would go and some general would through his prowess conquer a foreign empire. And then they would come and they would parade themselves through the city with their captives and with all the booty and things that they had been able to capture, and they would parade through the streets so that everyone could see how great that they were. And it was a Roman triumphal march, and it was a lot of pomp and a lot of ostentatious showiness that would be going on at that time. And it was a great honor for the general, and that it would be accompanied by trumpets and be accompanied by the grandeur of the gold of these horses and things of that kind, and by the burning of incense as well. Let me read you a section from a historical record of what that would have been like. It says, "Their captured weapons, armor, gold, silver, statuary, and curious or exotic treasures were carted behind them, along with paintings, tableaux, and models depicting significant places and episodes of the war. Next in line, all on foot, came Rome's senators and magistrates, followed by their generals, lictors, in their red wardrobes, their fasces wreathed in laurel, then the general in his four-horse chariot. A companion or a public slave might share the chariot with him, or in some cases his youngest children. His officers and elder sons rode horseback nearby. His unarmed soldiers followed in togas and laurel crowns, chanting, 'Io triumphe,' and singing ribald songs at their general's expense. Somewhere in the procession, two flawless white oxen were led for the sacrifice to Jupiter, garland decked with gilded horns. All of this was done to the accompaniment of music, clouds of incense, and the strewing of flowers." This is something that the people of that first century would have been very accustomed to seeing. When the Romans went out and they conquered, and then they came back after that conquering, they would have paraded themselves with all of this going on and all of this incense just filling the air all around as they would walk through the streets of the city. in all of their with all of their accoutrements and their garb and all of that. But here he draws on that to say, we are the fragrance of Christ to God. Let's think about that for just a minute. One of the things that he says here, and actually I forgot that I had put this in at the last minute. This is a relief from Titus conquering the city of Jerusalem. You can see in that a depiction of this parade that they had with the menorah and the trumpets you can see in there and things of that sort. So they would have been very familiar with this particular idea. But this incense, he says in verse 14 of 2 Corinthians chapter 2, was a representation of victory. God always, look at that word, always leads us in triumph. The Lord Jesus Christ always leads us in triumph. There is no failure. There is no enemy that defeats. He always leads us in triumph. And thanks be to God who does that. And he does that through Jesus Christ. Our identity and our glory is found in the conquering general. And our conquering general is the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's through him that we have that victory, and through him that we can celebrate the spoils of that war. Our identity is found in him. But he also says here in this place that in a sense that we, as this incense or as this fragrance, are to take that understanding and disseminate that to the world. In the second part of verse 14, he says that through us he diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. My wife has at least two of these little round things that look kind of like a volcano. And they're in different parts of our house, or sometimes they're in one of our kids' rooms, or maybe in the kitchen. And she has these oils that she mixes with water, and she puts them in there in this diffuser. And that thing takes that liquid, and you crank it up, and it begins to come out, and it begins to just fill the room that you're in. And we have been saved from great maladies because of these oils that have been diffused through the air. Now, I think there's a lot to it, but you know, it's the savior of the world to some. But that's what we need to be. We need to fill the space and the influence that we have and those that we come in contact with the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we're to do. And in this parade, as they would walk through the streets and all of this incense, there was that representation of victory that they were experiencing because of their conqueror. And who is our conquering hero? Who is this one that has shown such power? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And through us, the knowledge of him can be diffused to all men. He says in verse 15, and again this statement is so impressive to me, that we are the fragrance of Christ to God. If you come just a few verses forward in that context, look at chapter 3. Again, that idea of our effect is kind of talked about in chapter 3, beginning in verse 2. And here's another kind of vivid picture for us. In verse 2, he says, "You are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read by all men. Clearly, you are an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh." That is the heart. So he mentions in chapter 2 this fragrance and the sense of smell. And then in chapter 3 he says, you are an epistle of Christ that men can read and can see. Have you ever thought about the fact that you are the 67th book of the Bible? Have you ever stopped to consider that? The influence that you can have as you diffuse whatever it is that you are taking to the world. That you are, as he expresses here, the 67th book of the Bible. In a very figurative way, but I think we understand what he means by that. You are an epistle of Christ. What is it that people are seeing in you? What fragrance are you disseminating to people? Do you see? The effect that we have on others. Are we taking the goodness and the sweetness and the pleasantness of Jesus Christ? The fragrance of Christ? You know, perhaps it should be pointed out that in order to be the fragrance of Christ to God, that we have to spend time with the Lord. That we have to rub shoulders with Him. That we have to be engaged with Him. And if we are with Him, do you know that what happens? That if you're with something long enough, you start to have the same smell as that thing. I mean, you think about what a fisherman smell like. They smell like fish. What does a barbecue guy smell like? He smells like barbecue. That's just what he smells like when he comes home. You know, I remember when I was young and very foolish that I thought that I could sneak away. We'd just been married for a short time. I thought that I could sneak away and get in 18 holes. And then I could come home without my wife knowing that I didn't do that project at the house. I had been out playing golf. Well, I never could get away with it. And you know why? Because they always cut the greens in the morning. And when you're out there, you begin to smell like cut grass. You just smell like something that you spend time with. That's the nature of how that works. And so Christians, ladies and gentlemen, ought to smell like Christ. But are we spending time with Him? You know, there's a great book that I love the title of. It's about elders. And it's the title of that book is They Smell Like Sheep. And that's a great idea because it communicates that idea that they're spending time with those sheep, that there's knowledge of them, and there's a relationship. Christian smells like Christ. Encourage the saved. Notice that in verse 15 here of 2 Corinthians chapter 2, that when that fragrance is dispersed, that's an encouragement to those that are alive, that those that are a part of that triumph. He says, "For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved, and among those who are perishing. To the one we are the aroma of death leading to death." To those captives, they're not enjoying that procession. They're about to witness their ruin as these animals are sacrificed. Sometimes those people were killed. And as they smelled that fragrance, they recognized what was ahead. Those that were alive and those that were the victors, it was a sign of hope. It was a sign of great things to come ahead. And so as we are the fragrance of Jesus Christ, we, to the living, to the saved, under encouragement, and also as he says here, that we expose the lost by those lives. So the question, I guess, for us in verse 15 is, does when God senses us, do we remind Him of His Son? That's a tough question, but I think that's what verse 15 kind of communicates to us. How are we doing in that regard? Have you ever been somewhere or maybe had something that really was amazing, but because of because the odor was awful, that it took away from your enjoyment of that thing or that place. You ever been somewhere like that? We used to have an Acura. Where's Eddie? We used to have an Acura that was a great car. We loved it. It was a beautiful, nice SUV. There was something wrong with the catalytic converters. And every time we would get in that vehicle and take a trip, it was almost just overwhelming. And Sheila couldn't enjoy it. We had to give it to somebody else, even though she liked the car. Or maybe you've been to the beach, this beautiful beach and this wonderful place, and all of this seaweed has come up onto the beach and it is rotting. Have you ever been somewhere like that? Beautiful place, beautiful scenery. I've got to get out of here because I can't stand this anymore. I remember going to a little fishing village in England. Something had fallen into the water and all the fish had died. Quaint, beautiful place, but you just couldn't stand to be there. That being said, there were people. There were people that were there, and they were walking around as if there was absolutely nothing going on. And going about their daily lives and not recognizing what it was that they were in the midst of. And really, I think that that's exactly what can happen to us. As we begin to acclimate to the foul odor of sin and the pungent nature of what was once intolerable to us, and now we have accepted. And what once we would turn our nose up at, and what once was unacceptable and awful to us, now has become acceptable to us. That is not the way that ought to be. But we can ruin our influence and ruin this beautiful thing that God has given us and this wonderful fragrance of Christ through our sin and our foul mouth and our dirty thoughts and our dirty acts. That's not very appealing. And so may we be the fragrance of Christ to God. If not, our offering becomes tainted, our worship becomes stained, and our example becomes blurred. The Lord wants us to blossom. He wants us to bloom. He wants us to grow. He wants us to be a representation of Jesus Christ in the world, that people might see the joy of being one of His children. Is that what we're communicating to people, or are we failing in that regard? We are a sacrifice to God. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Maybe there's someone here this morning that has a desire to become a child of God, to become the fragrance of Christ to God. We want to encourage you in that. If you're here and you're not a Christian, that you might be baptized in water for the remission of your sins. Having expressed your faith in Jesus Christ, confessing the name of Jesus Christ, being willing to repent of your sins, change your life, change your direction, become what God would have you to be. If we can help you in any way, why don't you come while we stand? While we stand.